message from the president. Speaker, Parliament of Sri Lanka, Honourable Speaker, the Public Security Ordinance, Chapter 40, by virtue of the powers vested in me by Section 12 of the Public Security Ordinance, Chapter 40, I have issued an order to the effect that all members of the armed forces specified in the first schedule are summoned for the maintenance of public order in the areas specified in second schedule thereof, taking into consideration the need for the public order to be maintained. Accordingly, I hereby inform the Parliament of the said orders in terms of Section 2.3 of the aforesaid ordinance, read with Section 21.2 thereof. Yours sincerely, Maithripala Sirisena, President of Sri Lanka. Announcements by the Speaker. I wish to inform that I have endorsed the certificate on the bills entitled Wages Board's Amendment on the 24th of September 2019, Shrama Vasana Fund Amendment and People's Bank Amendment on the 30th of September 2019, and Merchant Shipping Amendment on the 2nd of October 2019 in terms of the provisions of Article 79 of the Constitution of the Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka. Announcement C. A motion may be moved to refer the question of privilege raised by the Honourable Professor Ashu Marsung, MP, in Parliament on the 9th of August 2019 to the Committee on Ethics and Privileges. Presentation of papers. Honourable Prime Minister and Minister of National Policies, Economic Affairs, Resettlement and Rehabilitation, Northern Province Development and Youth Affairs. Honourable Speaker, I present the annual report of the Audit Service Commission for the year 2018. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Internal Administration and Public Management. I present the order declared by the President under Section 2 of the Essential Public Services Act, No. 61 of 1979, making public transport services for passengers or goods as essential public services and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2143/51 of 3rd October 2019. I move that this order be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Transport and Communication. I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119-4 of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Presidential Secretariat for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21-6-2019. Report of the submission of observation and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119-4 of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Ministry of Mahalo Development and Environment, Department of Forest Conservation and Department of Coast Conservation and Coastal Resources Management for the year 2017 in the third report of the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21-6-2019, and report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119-4 of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Judicial Service Commission Secretariat for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21-6-2019. I move that these reports be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honourable Minister of Public Enterprise, Canadian Heritage and Canadian Development. Honourable Speaker, I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of Standing Order 119-4 of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned in the performance of the Ministry of Public Enterprise Development for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21/6/2019. I move that this report be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Thank you. Honourable Minister of Lands and Parliamentary Reforms. Honourable Speaker, I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119.4 of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Ministry of Lands and Parliamentary Reforms, Survey Department of Sri Lanka, Department of Government Printing, Department of Land Use Policy Planning, Land Commissioners General's Department and Land Title Settlement Department for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21/6/2019. I move that this report be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honourable Minister of Tourism Development, Wildlife and Christian Religious Affairs. Honourable Speaker, I present the orders made by the Minister of Tourism and Sports under Section 2 of the Fauna and Flora Protection Ordinance, Chapter 469, and published in the Gazette Dictionary number 1920/3 of 22nd June 2015. I move that these orders be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Sustainable Development and Environment and Natural Resources. Thank you. Honourable, I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119.4 of Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Ministry of Tourism, Development, Wildlife and Christian Religious Affairs and Department of Christian Religious Affairs for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Account, which was presented to Parliament on 21/6/2019. I move that this report be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Thank you. Honourable Minister of Finance, Honourable Speaker, I present the note on supplementary allocations from the Supplementary Support Services and Contingent Liabilities Project appearing under Expenditure Head Number 240 of the Department of National Budget for the period from 15/7/2019 to 15/9/2019 under Section 6(1) of the Appropriation Act Number 6 of 2019, the agreement between the Government of the Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka and the Government of the Sultanate of Oman under Section 75(1) of the Inland Revenue Act Number 24 of 2017 for the avoidance of double taxation and the prevention of fiscal evasion with respect to taxes on income entered into on 15th August 2018 and scheme made by the Minister of Finance under Section 9 of the Welfare Benefits Act No. 24 of 2002 relating to methodology to identify low-income families for welfare benefit payments and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2128/24 of 20th June 2019 as amended by the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2141/16 of 18th September 2019. I move that this note on supplementary allocations agreement and scheme be referred to the Committee on Public Finance. Honourable Minister of Health, Nutrition and Indigenous Medicine. Honourable Speaker, I present the annual report of the Ayurveda Medical Council for the year 2017. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Health and Human Welfare and Social Empowerment. Honourable Minister of Industry, Commerce, Resettlement of Protected Displaced Persons, Cooperative Development, Vocational Training and Skills Development. Honourable Speaker, I present the annual report of the Sri Lanka State Trade Union General Corporation Limited for the years 2016-17 and annual reports of the Lanka Sathosa Limited for the years 2013 and 2014 and 2015. I move that these reports be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Business and Commerce. I present the annual report of the Tertiary and Vocational Education Commission for the year 2016. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Education and Human Resources Development. I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119-4 of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Department of Cooperative Development for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21-6-2019. I move that this report be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Thank you. Honourable Minister of Agriculture, Rural Economic Affairs, Irrigation and Fisheries and Aquatic Resources Development. Honourable Speaker, I present the annual report of the Hector Kobakadu Agrarian Research and Training Institute for the year 2017. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Agriculture and Lands. Honourable Minister of Transport and Civil Aviation. Honourable Speaker, I present the annual report of the Civil Aviation Authority of Sri Lanka for the year 2017. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Transport and Communication. Honourable Minister of Women and Child Affairs and Rural Zone Development. Honourable Speaker, I present the reports on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of Standing Order 119-4. Of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Ministry of Women and Child Affairs and Rural Zone Development and Department of Probation and Child Care Services for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21-6-2019. I move that these reports be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honourable Minister of Justice and Prison Reforms. Honourable Speaker, I present the guidelines made by the Minister of Justice and Prison Reforms under Section 12F of the Office on Missing Persons, Establishment, Administration and Discharge of Functions, Act No. 14 of 2016 and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2133-36 of 24 July 2019. I move that these guidelines be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Legal Affairs, Anti-Corruption and Media. Honourable Minister of Postal Services and Muslim Religious Affairs. Honourable Speaker, I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119-4 of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Ministry of Postal Services and Muslim Religious Affairs for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21-6-2019. I move that this report be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honourable Minister of National Integration, Official Languages, Social Progress and Hindu Religious Affairs. Honourable Speaker, I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119-4 of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Ministry of National Integration, Official Languages, Social Progress and Hindu Religious Affairs for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21-6-2019. I move that this report be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honourable Minister of Telecommunication, Foreign Employment and Sports. Honourable Speaker, I present the annual report of the National Sports Fund for the year 2017 and regulations made by the Minister of Telecommunication, Foreign Employment and Sports under Section 41, Trade with Section 31 of the Sports Law No. 25 of 1973 regarding National Association of Sports and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2128-8 of 18th June 2019. I move that this report and regulations be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Youth, Sports, Arts and Heritage. There is another section, Honourable Speaker. I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119(4) of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Foreign Employment Division of Ministry of Telecommunication, Foreign Employment and Sports for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21/6/2019. I move that this report be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honourable Minister of Development, Strategies and International Trade, Honourable Speaker, I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119(4) of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Ministry of Development, Strategies and International Trade and Development of Import and Export Control for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21/6/2019. I move that this report be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honourable Non-Cabinet Minister of Labour and Trade Union Relations, Honourable Speaker, I present the reports on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of Standing Order 119(4) of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Ministry of Labour and Trade Union Relations, Department of Labour and Department of Manpower and Employment for the year 2017 in the third report for the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21/6/2019. I move that these reports be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honourable Non-Cabinet Minister of Science, Technology and Research, Honourable Speaker, I present the annual report of the National Science Foundation for the year 2016. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Education and Human Resources Development. Honourable Non-Cabinet Minister of Digital Infrastructure and Information Technology, Honourable Speaker, I present the report on the submission of observations and steps taken in terms of the Standing Order 119(4) of the Parliament with regard to the matters mentioned on the performance of the Ministry of Digital Infrastructure and Information Technology for the year 2017 in the third report of the third session of the 8th Parliament of the Committee on Public Accounts, which was presented to Parliament on 21/6/2019. I move that this report be referred to the Committee on Public Accounts. Honourable Chairman Anand Kumasri, the Chair of the Legislative Standing Committee. It will be presented by Honourable Edward Gwanasekar. Honourable Speaker, I present the report of the Legislative Standing Committee on the bill entitled Chamber of Construction Industry of Sri Lanka in cooperation together with the Minutes of Proceedings. Consideration by Honourable M. S. Mandiram, the Chair of the Committee on Public Finance. Presentation of Public Petitions, Honourable Edward Gunasekar. I present a petition received from Ajanta Vinodini of Kelniya. Honourable Kanuranda Parnavithana, Honourable Speaker, I present a petition received from Mr. J. Karnawaratna of Kalavana. Honourable Chandim Veera Kodi, Honourable Susant Punchinilame, Honourable Nihal Kalapati, Honourable Speaker, I present a petition received from Mr. Sunil Padmasiri of LPTA, Honourable Nalak Prasad Kolonni, Honourable Speaker. I present a petition received from Mr. A. N. Vikram Singh of Circular Road, Polonnaruwa, and a petition received from Mr. Y. M. Sunil Yappa Bandara of Kamudawa Circular Road in Gurakoda. Honourable Sujit Sanjay Pereira, Honourable Speaker, I present a petition received from Mr. I. M. Sirimagur, Mrs. I. M. Sirimagur Mardana of Katiyanthotta, Honorable Sandeep Samarasinghe, Honorable Speaker, I present a petition received from Mr. M. P. Sanath Rohita of Kantale. Petition stand referred to the Committee on Public Petitions. Questions for oral answers. Honorable members, questions for oral answers on this day are deferred to another day as decided at the meeting of the Committee on Parliamentary Business held on the 2nd of October 2019. Questions understanding Order 27.2 of the Parliament. Honorable Rajavarodhyam Sambandhan, 27.2.
Mr. Speaker, I wish to raise the following question of urgent and utmost public importance under Standing Order Section 27.2. There is an ancient Hindu temple called the Neerabadi Pulliyar Kovil at a place called Sudhithimmala in the Mullathivu district. A Buddhist vihara called Gulkande Rajamahavihara was forcibly constructed between 2004 and 2009 when no civilian was permitted to go to that area. In the presence of this temple, and more recently, an attempt was made to restore the Buddhist vihara. This led to unrest between the people living in that area, all of whom are non-Buddhist, and the monks who had by then come into occupation. Upon this matter being reported to the learned magistrate of Mullathivu, an order was made prohibiting the reconstruction of the vihara. The chief priest of the vihara filed an application for revision in the provincial high court of the northern province sitting in Babunia, which matter is still pending. In the meantime, on or about 21st September 2019, the chief priest of Gurukanda Raja Mahavihara passed away in Colombo after taking ill. The Mullathivu police filed an information in the magistrate court, Mullathivu, stating inter alia that a police complaint had been filed by the administrative body of the Neerabadi Pulliyar Temple stating that the chief priest of the Gurukanda Raja Mahavihara at that time had passed away. In the event that the body of the said chief priest was brought to the premises in dispute, being the premises on which both the Hindu temple and the Buddhist temple were located, it could result in a breach of the peace in the area. The learned magistrate thereupon made an order on September 21st, 2019, that the above mentioned complainants and the present chief priest of the above mentioned Buddhist temple be present in court on 23rd September 2019, B, that the body of the above mentioned deceased chief priest should not be cremated or buried in the said premises in dispute until an appropriate final order was granted in the matter. When the matter was taken up in court on 23rd September 2019, counsel for the Maritime Pattu Pradesh Sabha stated that steps had been taken for the cremation of the said body without obtaining necessary permission in terms of the cemeteries and burial grounds ordinance. Counsel appearing for the Buddhist priest informed, counsel appearing for the Buddhist vihara informed court that they were willing to conduct the cremation ceremony at an alternative location, and the administrative body of the above mentioned Hindu temple was agreeable to this. Accordingly, court made order of consent that a said cremation be not conducted at the premises in dispute and instead be conducted in the alternate location. After the order was made, a group of monks led by Venerable Galgoda Atte Janasara Thero took the body of the deceased chief priest to the very place where the order of the magistrate prohibited them from cremating and proceeded to cremate the body despite protests by a large number of people of the area who had gathered in that area. A fracas ensued, during which the priest of the above-mentioned Hindu temple was severely injured. A lawyer appearing for the administrative body of the Hindu temple was also assaulted. The police were present during the entire incident, led by the SSP. They did nothing to prevent the monks and others violating the said order of court, and only prevented members of the Hindu community who were present during the incident from entering the premises in dispute. Reverend Galgoda Atte Janasara Thero was sentenced for a 6-year incarceration for contempt of court in case bearing number CA within bracket CC application 04/2016. He was purportedly pardoned by the President on or about 23rd of May 2019. He has additionally been found guilty by the Learned Barrister of Homagama in case bearing number 11309 by a judgment dated 24th May 2018 for inter alia threatening the complainant, wife of a disappeared journalist by name Pragit Ektenigoda, in open court. He has appealed to the High Court bearing case number Appeal 28/2018. The said appeal was expeditiously concluded and his sentence was suspended. Thereafter, the complainant appealed to the Supreme Court in case bearing number SC/SPL/LA89/19, which is now pending. I wish to urge the government to take immediate steps to bring the culprits who violated the court order to book. It must include the police officers who failed not only to enforce the court order, but also facilitated in the process of its violation. I wrote to His Excellency the President, Honourable Mr. Speaker, on 27 September 2009. I sent him a letter detailing all these facts. I wish to table that letter and request that it be included in the handout at the end of my speech. You will see, Honourable Mr. Speaker, that in this instance, some Buddhist monks have violated an order of court. They have entered a Hindu temple and premises, desecrated the temple, an act of sacrilege, and behaved in a most unworthy manner, unworthy of the practices and teachings of Lord Buddha, whom we all venerate and hold in great adoration. The government, though the incident happened two weeks ago, has thus far failed to take any action whatsoever in regard to this matter. What is most astounding and thoroughly unacceptable is that the police have been remaining quiet and silent, not merely when the incident occurred. When the incident occurred, they were physically present, with an SSP being there and a number of police officers. They did not prevent the court order being violated. They did not prevent the monks and their group of people behaving in this utterly unacceptable manner. They merely prevented the Hindu-Tamil civilians who live in that area from entering the temple. So in order to facilitate the commission of this offence, by the persons who were engaged in such activity. This is an unacceptable situation, sir, calling for very stringent action, and the purpose of my motion in court today is to urge the government not to delay any further, not to behave in an irresponsible manner, but to take necessary action to bring all the offenders to book, both for desecrating the temple, violating the court order, and not preventing this incident from happening. I thank you, sir.
Thank you. Pajana Madakaruju RMBG.
Commencement of public business. Honorable Minister for Industry and Sir, the reply to the statement will be made next time. Point of order, what's it?
ගරු කතානායකතුම නිස්සාරණ නියෝගවල ලිපිලේඛන යටතේ මම මේ
under papers I am making raising the issue understanding orders a supplementary estimate has been tabled in parliament today. I'd like to refer to two matters. The government should make a clarification according to standing orders when supplementary estimates are presented as to why they are needed. An election has been declared at this juncture. 130 million rupees is proposed to be allocated for green clubs, for the establishment of green clubs in all 25 districts. Therefore, it may have been a budget proposal, but when this is implemented at this juncture, it becomes a political activity. Therefore, very clear very clearly addition.
Importation of two security vehicles for the use of HE the President. Million ekasi eka.
101 million for that purpose. Tax alone. It entails taxes of more than 50 million per vehicle. What kind of security vehicle is that? I request the Honorable Chief Whip of the Government to clarify it. According to standing orders, you are required to do so. The Honorable Minister or State Minister for Finance will make a clarification in regard to the Honorable Member's issue. Sir, a large number of private members' motions have been pending. And since opportunity has not been given to present them, standing orders have been violated. We made these submissions earlier also. I had presented motion number 72 as a private member's motion regarding Sri Sakya Sangha Rama Vihara Karisadaka Sangvidhanaya. This is a temple. The only temple that is established in Colombo Fort by the initiation of Anagarika Dharmapala. Therefore, our standing orders are also violated in order to prevent the Buddhists from having this organization established. Please at least allow us to act according to standing orders. There are many private members' motions with regard to especially Madragala Kanta Sangvidhanaya Women's Organization and this matter which I have just laid down has been there for more than 2 years. I have made the request to the Prime Minister regarding this in writing, Mr. Speaker, and at the same time since 2015 we had been waiting for the incorporation of Munragala Women's Organization since 2015. Even I have private members' motions under my name, Honorable Member. Honorable Minister of Industry and Commerce.
Act number 7 of 2007. I present.
Samagam Sanshodhana 2007 Anka 7 Daran.
A bill to amend the Companies Act No. 7 of 2007. second reading when? Tomorrow.
Ilanga Partha Garu Vijay Sandesa Vijaya Kyasa Krida Matuma.
Honorable Minister of Telecommunication, Foreign Employment, Sports. Sir, this is regarding prevention of offences relating to sports. It's a bill to provide for the prevention of match fixing, corruption, illegal manipulation and illegal betting in sports and for the appointment of a special investigations unit for investigation of offences and to provide for matters connected therewith or incidental thereto. Second reading when? Tomorrow.
And Karuna Parliament Garu Sabanayakatuma.
Well, the leader of the house, item 3.
Number 3.
Sir, I move item number 3.
Sabayagada.
House agrees.
Brahatara.
4. Honorable leader of the house.
Sabayagada.
Aye.
Paha Garu Vijayapala Hityarachi Matuma.
Garu Katanayakatuma.
Mr. Speaker, I move that leave be granted to introduce the bill to amend the Lions Club International District 306A National Development Foundation Trust Incorporation Act No. 28 of 1986. Seconding is needed, Honorable Member. Who is going to second it? I second the motion.
Item 1.
Regulation under the Public Contract Act.
Regulation under the Public Contract Act, that the regulation made by Minister of Industry and Commerce with the concurrence of the President under Section 36 of the Public Contract Act number 3 of 1987 and the regulations published in the Gazette Extraordinary number 508/7 of 2nd June 1988, last amended by the Gazette Extraordinary number 1773/36 of 30th August 2012, further amending and published in the Gazette Extraordinary number 2055/18 of 24th January 2018, which was presented on 9/7/2019, be approved. The Honorable Speaker, until February 1815, companies were registered under the Joint Stock Banking Ordinance and the Companies Ordinance number 51 of
මේක අද විවාදයට විතරයි ගන්න සම්මත කර ගැනීම වෙනත් දිනයකදී බලාපොරොත්තු වෙන්නේ.
This will only be debated today and the passing will be done on another day.
ඒ විදිහට පක්ෂ නායකයලා සීමිත කතා කරා.
ඒක උනා ඒ විදිහට.
It was agreed at the party leaders meeting. Today it will not be. We did not agree to debate but to pass. Otherwise, we should be given another day for
amendments.
Regulation, so we can approve that, no?
So
we approve that day.
Varani, mokota de vivadaya. Nanga
approve karamu. Ela approve
karamu.
Ena hondai.
Out item 1, house agrees.
Aye.
Item 2. Sri Lanka Parisara Bhuti Vejinge Aachana Sansagata Kirimi Panat Kirim Pata Devanimara Kiyavima Sabhavekaja.
Institute of Environmental Professionals Sri Lanka Incorporation Bill, second reading. House agrees. It will be referred to the Standing Committee.
Sir,
this question raised by Mrs. Sumedha Jayasena and me, these are also relevant to incorporation of bills. This has also been presented as an incorporation bill. They will be taken up for second reading and then thrown away. Therefore, Honorable Prime Minister will also agree if you say that according to standing orders we should act. House is adjournment of the house. Sir, I move that the house is adjourned till 10:30 a.m. on 23rd October. Adjournment motion. Honorable Mrs. Shanti Sriskandaraja.
On the 23-9-2019, a court ruling was violated, and I would like to present my adjournment motion on this regard. On the 23 September 2019, in Maritime Pattu Divisional Secretariat Division of the Mulathi District, in the premises of Niravi Adipilaya Temple, Teerthakarni, the mortal remains of Medalang Thero was cremated. This particular Buddhist monk erected a Buddha statue in this area, violating the court cases which were ongoing at that time. This particular statue has been erected in the Pillayar Temple premises, which is more than 300 years old. This instigated racism and religious bigotry in this area where there are no Sinhala families are living. A court order was given to cremate the priest's remains in the premises of a military camp. However, violating this court rule, the cremation was held in the temple premises. Venerable Jnanasara Thero and some other monks led the proceedings with the help of Sinhalese people who were brought in buses to this area. Even police officers and certain other officials violated the court ruling and disregarded it. The police officers who violated the court ruling and the Jnanasara Thero and other monks who led the proceedings should be brought to the book. And I also move that the people should be ensured justice in this area. Honorable Speaker, when this incident happened, I was present in that area. This particular area has been identified by the archaeological department . We are also committed towards protecting the tradition of this country, but we will not permit violations in this regard. Especially the rights of the Tamils are being violated. When these areas are marked, the relevant history of those areas should be considered. So this is one of our requests, that the history of these particular areas should be considered when these archaeological sites are marked. A court ruling was given with regard to the cremation of the bhikkhu. A particular area was marked for the cremation, but the burial, the cremation happened in the premises of the temple. Therefore, the perpetrators should be punished. So this is my motion, Honorable Speaker. Thank you.
Speaking.
I second the motion presented by Honorable Shanti Sriskantarasa. Honorable Speaker, this adjournment motion has not been brought against the particular Buddhist priest or against Sinhalese people. the incidents which occurred on that day. It involved certain Buddhist monks and Sinhalese people, Sinhalese youth.
The speaker, the reply to this question will be given by the relevant minister on a later date. Therefore, we will take the facts and give the reply accordingly. Okay.
Announcement, honorable members. I wish to announce that this house cordially welcomes the delegates of 22 member states participating at the 15th Heads of Asian Coast Guard Agencies high-level meeting, now present at the Speaker's Gallery. Yeah, go ahead, you can start.
In Mulattiv District, Karaturaipattu Divisional Secretariat Division, in this particular Pillaiyar Temple of Sommalai, this incident happened. There is a Hindu temple which was under the control of the military. While this temple was under the control of the military, a Buddha statue was erected in order for the military personnel to worship. But later, the army left the premises. And this particular monk who passed away recently, violating a court rule and with the help of the archaeological department, established a Buddhist temple. And very recently he passed away due to an illness. And some wanted to cremate him within the temple premises, and at that time, the administration of the Pillaiyar temple sought the court intervention, and a stay order was given in this regard. But violating this rule, efforts were made to cremate the Buddhist priest in that area, and the people tried to prevent this situation, and the court ordered that the cremation should happen close to the seashore in that area. Even I contacted the relevant police officer in this regard, and before the court ruling was given, I contacted him and I told him that efforts are being made to cremate the remains within the temple premises. The police officers should have assisted to implement the court ruling. However, they were against it. Some Buddhist priests and Sinhalese youth were involved in this. And what were the actions taken by the government? And I would like to ask this from the government. Their wrongdoings. They attacked our people. And how does this government view this situation? Very recently, now we are expecting a presidential election very soon, and the candidates seek for the votes of the Tamils. So I would like to ask from the presidential candidates, especially the candidate of the SLPP and the UNP and the JVP. So I would like to ask these three important candidates, what are your views on this matter? Now you come asking for our votes. So when you seek our votes, you should tell us what you think about this incident. since of late the Department of Archaeology is assisting certain Buddhist organizations to establish temples in certain areas. Now the UNP candidate is the minister concerned. So we need to protect our culture and our ethnic identities, and some are acting against it, and some particular departments are acting against it, and they are forcibly acquiring our lands. Certain departments are acquiring lands in our areas, and that they are trying to distort the ethnic proportion in our areas. Therefore, please look into this matter. I would like to clarify one major issue, that is, this is a good example that our people cannot live in this country where majority single leaders are ruling. What are these presidential candidates going to do about it? The single leaders have disregarded this matter. Therefore, I would like to insist that we should prevent such incidents from happening. And if this continues in the future, we might face serious consequences.
Suchi, Garu Ananda Arudgama Gematuma.
Garu Katanakatumani.
Mr. Speaker, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak regarding this matter. Actually, regarding this incident which occurred in Bulaidev, a motion was introduced by Honorable Member in the House. We are always prepared to live in harmony with people. Sinhalese and Tamil people are working with the utmost discipline, a fact which was recognized by everybody. When we look at this incident, what the people can see is, according to Article 9 of the Constitution, since at the advent of Meenu Thero, this Buddhist country irrespective of its legal status, I must say that in a Tamil church or a kovil, when the demise of a chief incumbent occurs, when it comes to temples, the chief incumbent of the temple is cremated in the premises itself. During the white rule, no white officer touched any land belonging to a temple, church or kovil. Sometimes during the war time, the properties may have been subjected to some changes. I went once as the sole person of the delegate of the Buddhist monks. I also noticed that there is an injustice that has occurred. Now, all communities, including Tamils, are engaged in businesses in our areas without any problem. Whenever something happens, we treat them very well. When we take Gampala, for example, into consideration, all the Muslim shops belong to the Buddhist temples. They live on these properties. They have been living for hundreds of years and no problem has been caused to them. In the 1983 July incidents, some incidents may have occurred. However, Sinhalese people protected them, provided protection to them, and ensured that they could continue with their businesses after that. You went in March. This may be a wrong act, of course. Police did not take any action regarding the court order. You expressed your views, therefore there needn't be any debate about it. Sir, on that occasion, sometimes court orders are made, and it is based on the facts presented by police officers that the court gives its order. Certain proposals made by the police have enabled the court to acquit people. Now, for example, the accusations against Mr. Kottabaya Rajapaksha, Honorable Johnston Fernando, etc., have been discarded. Therefore, it bases upon the police information. I am regretted to say that the TNA has fallen into such a crevice. You are living in freedom in Colombo. It has been possible because of the action on the part of the three forces and the police. Do you say it's a wrong thing? This is a Buddhist country. If you you should not come to such a state. According to the Dayaka Sabha proposal, if the opportunity has been given, there's no problem. When the Buddhist monk passes away, he has to be cremated. The temple premises is the place which has been decided by the patron society. You are causing problems and you will in turn call out foul. The Buddhist people in the south and in the north and in the east, you are Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksha and Mr. Gotabaya Rajapaksha has given maximum contribution to enable you to live freely. We are living in peace.
In unity.
So you are trying to provoke people through something. Buddhist, if a Buddhist monk for sake, I'll finish. If the Reverend monk had been sick, and once that Reverend monk passes away, as Buddhist people, even if there is a dead dog on the road, we would cremate or bury that animal with due respect. So it is a Buddhist monk. We have Buddhism in this country. It is a disrespect for the religion and the country. Even if there had been any problem, you could have allowed this to happen, asking not to take that as a precedence. There are enough officers. We have the parliament, the prime minister, the president. You have a large number of members represented in parliament. So you could have discussed this matter and come to a solution. If the police had given a wrong, taken a wrong decision, where do you find 100% correct decisions taken by police? Sometimes proposals made by the police have been discarded by the courts. These are not court rulings. So I state my strong objection on behalf of the singular people, and are there any other speakers? As there aren't any more speakers, we will adjourn sittings until 10:30 on the 23rd of October.